Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Virginia Lopez, a Caracas-based journalist who covers Latin America and Venezuela for The Guardian of the United Kingdom and Sky TV. She has an article in Wednesday's Guardian, "Nicolas Maduro Promises to Use New Powers to Rescue Venezuelan Economy." Welcome to Background Briefing, Virginia Lopez.
Hi, Ian. How are you?
So I'm fine. It sounds like your country is in chaos here. You've got essentially an emergency decree. I know that Hugo Chavez did have, I think, four times he had suspended the parliament, if you will, and ruled by emergency decree. In this case, his successor, Maduro, has managed to get the parliament to relinquish its authority and give him the emergency powers to rule for, 12 months to turn the economy around?
Yes, that's one of the reasons he's asked for it. He's also claimed he needs these to fight corruption. And only recently, or the latest thing he said yesterday, was to also establish the internal order. We're still trying to figure out what that one means.
Well, is there internal disorder? I know we've talked about, you've done some coverage of the state of the prison population and how dangerous it is. And also, you've talked a lot in the past about the street crime. I think it's got one of the highest crime rates in, certainly in the Americas, Venezuela. The president, Maduro, of course, continually talks about outside forces destabilizing the place, along with local, he refers to them, the shopkeepers, as bourgeois parasites. His language is getting pretty interesting, wouldn't you say?
Yes, and you have to remember that this is coming ahead of municipal elections at a time when Maduro had lost a lot of the popularity after the elections of April. Once again, he also won with a razor thin margin. A lot of the analysts I've spoken to think that both the enabling law and also a lot of these sort of economic measures that are quite reminiscent to Chavez are more political, really, than economic. So, you know, it's sort of a way of gaining support. It seems that he has actually succeeded in gaining support. After businesses were asked to slash their prices. So it's, like I said, it seems that he's imitating a lot of Chavez's style, not only in the rhetoric, but also in asking the Congress for these special powers.
Well, I imagine it would make anybody popular if you basically told shoppers you could go into these shops and get what was originally, you know, priced at, say, $100, you can get the same item for, $25? What have these decrees done in terms of reducing prices? Apparently, Maduro said they are barbaric, these capitalist parasites. Let nothing be left on the shelves. So it sounds like, you know, what they call Black Friday here, these sales that they have after Thanksgiving where people trample over each other to get inside for the bargains. Is that what happened?
There were cases of looting in different cities across the country. But for the most part, because this was done with the National Guard, people were kept in order. From what I could see here in Caracas, the National Guard, you know, heavily armed, was giving people numbers so that they would queue up quite orderly outside the stores and then be called in small groups of, say, 10 people at a time. And then once inside, you were only allowed to buy a maximum of 3 products. But yes, of course, it's an increasingly popular measure among some to be able to, you know, afford, household appliances that had, you know, otherwise they probably would have never been able to afford. The other half of the population, I think, is quite indignant and certainly quite scared of what this means for the commercial sector. Venezuela relies heavily on imports, and I think very few people can imagine that businessmen are too encouraged to continue importing after these measures, no? So I think, you know, for the most part, it's been framed sort of like this is a big party, and then the hangover will probably come, you know, in January and February. As it is, Venezuela is already facing severe shortages of basic goods. You know, it's not uncommon to see people queuing up outside grocery stores to buy, you know, the allotted 2 kilos of sugar or the allotted 4 rolls of toilet paper. So, you know, it's probably bound to get worse, although Maduro has assured it won't, but, you know, who knows?
Well, I guess with the media now being entirely under the control of the government, there's no commercial media left, I understand, that supports the opposition, with Globo Television now being bought by some cronies of Chavez's and Maduro's. Do the merchants have any voice? I mean, you know, one is not normally that sympathetic to merchants, but on the other hand, they have to make a living. And if are they selling all of these products at a loss? Is that what's happening?
There has been a lot of speculation. There's been a foreign exchange control in Venezuela for the last 10 years. So, you know, a lot of people got foreign currency approved by the government and sold, and these dollars were sold at six bolivars to a dollar. But again, a lot of people didn't get this money approved, and so they had to rely on the black market, which clearly is illegal, and also, you know, right now as we speak, it's 10 times the official rate. So you know, the overpricing is relative. I think probably in some cases, you know, where people were getting preferential dollars from the government, they were clearly overpricing, and then in other cases, you know, merchants were having to rely on the black market to continue on their imports. No,
I see.
But like you said, you know, because the media is controlled by the government right now, the stories you hear are only sort of one-sided. It's quite difficult to get a clear sense of exactly what's happening. No, but the truth is that regardless of whether they were getting preferential dollars and overpricing or not, after you see your stores being, you know, looted or in the best cases, you know, intervened by the National Guard, I think it's pretty discouraging to want to, you know, rebuild your business in the next following month. I spoke to somebody who described the way that her family's car dealership was intervened, and the whole thing sounded really intimidating. You know, this was something where the National Guard was going in, the intelligence police were going in, even like a small commission from, you know, the presidency was going in. So it seems to me that there was quite a bit of intimidation involved in the way that this was carried out.
Again, I'm speaking with Virginia Lopez, who is in Caracas, Venezuela, where she covers Latin America and Venezuela for The Guardian of the United Kingdom and Sky TV. She has an article in Wednesday's Guardian, Nicolas Maduro promises to use new powers to rescue Venezuelan economy. So he's got the new powers. He's argued that Venezuela has been a victim of economic warfare. The country has, what is it now, 54%? It's the annual inflation is 54%, and the oil sector, I understand, is all but paralyzed in terms of revenues. There's no way that they can increase any revenues, my understanding is. They've also taken out some substantial loans from the Chinese. Is anybody trying to ruin the Venezuelan economy, or is it just being mismanaged by this very same government that's now got emergency decrees to fix it?
After 10 years of foreign currency currency control, it's I think hard to believe that this is internal sabotage. Economic warfare being waged by the opposition. I think it's also quite obvious that the people behind the state agency that were approving these preferential dollars were government officials. And so if anything, you can argue that these people weren't doing their job right. The corruption cases in Caribe, which is the name of the state agency approving the preferential dollars, are, you know, ridiculous. It's actually something that Maduro has even admitted to. Not necessarily specifying where to lay the blame, but I think one of the most sort of emblematic cases of how widespread this corruption was is a motor racer, speed racer athlete who got $60 million at the preferential rate, apparently to support his sporting activities. you know, well, clearly $60 million is a lot of money for a speed racer, I would think. He's now gone to jail, but that's just the tip of the iceberg. We're talking about, you know, as in any oil economy, vast contracts with, you know, of many, many million dollars that where there's no transparency and where there's very little accountability.
So I've heard that in many ways this is a form of crony capitalism with a socialist sort of patina. Is that what's going on here, that friends of the regime, because a lot of businesses have been expropriated and nationalized over the last 10 years in any case, is this what's going on, that you basically have a system of preferential treatment for people who are connected to the regime and the rest is, you know, have got to fend for themselves?
I would say some of that is correct. It's difficult to substantiate because, you know, the information doesn't necessarily flow freely. Figures are not released freely. But the one case that makes this quite or exemplifies this quite well also is I think it was early this week the vice president. Sorry, no. The high-ranking official at the Venezuela Development Bank that finally pleaded guilty to charges of bribery and basically using her post to misdirect funds at the order, I believe, of $40 million or so. I don't have the exact figure, but this is a case of corruption that we only found out because it was taking place in the U.S. She pleaded guilty to the U.S. authorities, not to Venezuelan. And there had been no mention of this until, you know, it became public in the U.S. So definitely no sense of accountability or checks and balances. And yes, I think a lot of nepotism going on, and certainly, you know, the emergence of a new elite in the last 14 years, which might point out to cronyism.
So with this economy, it looks as if it's in free fall with 54% inflation, and the oil sector, which is the main source of income, the state oil company, apparently it's financially hobbled and unable to generate the kind of money that the country will need to get over the hump. So if Maduro has pulled off this stunt of allowing people to go in and get goods and, you know, plasma TVs and washing machines at a fraction of what they were being charged before, that's made him popular in the short run ahead of the December 8th municipal elections. Is there any chance that there'll be a backlash, that he won't? Because at this point, I guess analysts are saying that he's pulled it off. I mean, he may well be the reason why the economy's in shambles, but at this point, he's able to sort of blame it on others and get a new lease on life. Is that what's happened?
It could be that, you know, come 2014, we face severe shortages and people, you know, and there's an increasing sense of unrest. But it can also be that we're facing a scenario similar to Zimbabwe, where, you know, analysts were predicting in 2007 that it was definitely the end of Mugabe after he actually did basically a carbon copy, or actually Maduro did a carbon copy of what Mugabe did back then. And what is it, 2013, and we still have Mugabe, just recently won presidential election. So, you know, it's hard to understand and even more so to predict.
But the opposition, with no access to the media, what's the prognosis for these municipal elections on December the 8th?
Before these economic measures, they seemed to be garnering more support. Before these economic measures. Now I get the sense from analysts that I've spoken to that Maduro might have gained support, you know, in his basis. I think abstention is going to play an important role. I also think that the big urban centers might not be won by Maduro. So, you know, it'll probably continue dividing society.
So the prognosis is that you may end up, if you're using Mugabe as the analogy, that's pretty grim. I mean, he did win the elections, but they were completely rigged. And the place is devastated economically. But him and his cronies are riding high, living off the fat of the land. So is that the picture you're painting for the future of Venezuela?
Not necessarily. I don't think we're at that point. It would take oil prices to plummet probably to launch us into that, you know, that grim of a scenario. But what I meant to say was that people were predicting it was Mugabe's end back in 2007 after similar measures, and he's still there. So it's hard to know what's going to happen here. I don't think necessarily this is the end of Maduro because of the backlash in 2014. I don't even know that there's going to be a backlash. Mm-hmm. Because again, you know, with oil at 100 plus a barrel or close to that, it might be that Maduro still has quite a bit to finance, you know, his government with. It's unpredictable.
How often can Maduro cry wolf over the Yankee imperialists? Because I'm not sure that the United States cares much anymore about Venezuela. And the evidence so far of all of these so-called spies and kicking out embassy officials, it all seems very theatrical. And there's never any substance at the end of the day. So is that still playing, that sort of nationalist card that the American imperialists are trying to – is that the subtext for this economic warfare that Maduro keeps talking about?
No. I think that clearly wasn't giving him any votes. So he had to push it a bit further and start this sort of, you know, Black Friday-type handout of electrodomestics. It's a very sort of populist measure.
I see. And
it does feel like it's a piñata, you know, where goods are being handed out and thus the host is liked. And in the same manner, I think it's probably quite short-lived. I don't know whether there's going to be a backlash of shortages that are going to plummet Maduro's popularity. I don't know if you know, people are going to take advantage of the household goods, but still punish Maduro at the polls because, you know, they've had relatives murdered with the incredible crime rate that we live with. It's difficult. I think, you know, there's a sort of initial effervescence and excitement at having gotten, you know, a plasma TV at a reduced price, but I think, you know, the reality is that you do have to go back home and you do have to go and get sugar and milk and toilet paper. And these things haven't been regularly stocked in market shelves here for, you know, close to 8 months. So, you know, so there's also that. And also, you know, and this has been said probably to the point of being tiresome, Maduro lacks Chavez's charisma. So there's a lot of things that Chavez could get away with. And Maduro just can't. He can't get away with crying wolf, I don't think. And like you say, even if he was charismatic, it's been 14 years of these claims that never go anywhere. So that's certainly grown tired here in Venezuela.
Well, Virginia Lopez, I thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Virginia Lopez, who's a Caracas-based journalist who covers Latin America and Venezuela for The Guardian of the United Kingdom and Sky TV. She has an article in Wednesday's Guardian, Nicolas Maduro Promises to Use New Powers to Rescue Venezuelan Economy. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking about the phony crisis over Obamacare.